You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Nelson Scott Merson. And welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the beautiful book, Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 1, where we left off last time. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 1. Excuse me. Before we begin, everybody's invited to come here every Wednesday at 6 p.m. for the live SoundCloud teaching, and also fervent prayer for America. You're also invited to come here each Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio broadcast taping, internet taping, and SoundCloud teaching. I'm in Suntree, Florida, right beside Scott Mercer's The Produce Place. The Produce Place is at the corner of Wickham Road and Bonita Causeway. I'm right there, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. And now, Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 1. From God's heart to my heart to your heart. The greatest love story ever told, and you are in this story. The Song of Solomon is a parable written in the form of a play. A parable is a story used to illustrate a spiritual truth. There are four main characters: the beautiful Shulamite girl, the wonderful shepherd boy, King Solomon, and the daughters of Jerusalem. There are two bit characters, a mother and the brethren. The Shulamite girl, the shepherd boy, are engaged, but the brothers took her away from him, put her in a vineyard where King Solomon saw her. He lusted after her and made her come to the palace. He's already got the daughters of Jerusalem in there. He tried to woo her, but she was not interested. She just kept telling the daughters of Jerusalem about a wonderful shepherd boy. Now, this is the spiritual meaning here. The Shulamite girl is every man, woman, boy, or girl who's elect alive on planet Earth right now, who's not going to worship the Antichrist portrayed by King Solomon. The wonderful shepherd boy is Jesus. The daughters of Jerusalem are half the body of Christ alive right now who love Jesus, go to church, and they're going to worship the Antichrist because they do not know enough of the Word of God. They're going to think he's Jesus. The mother is the church. The brothers are the brothers and sisters of the Christian church who are going to turn the elect into the Antichrist because they think that they're getting us saved when indeed they are the ones who will be lost. Okay. Now, King Solomon brought the Shulamite girl to the palace. The Antichrist will bring the elect up before him where they're to testify by the Holy Spirit. It's God's plan. Don't be afraid. Not one hair of your head shall be harmed. So as the curtain comes up, we left off last time. Everybody was in the palace there, and it was finally nighttime, so they all go to bed. The Shulamite girl cannot go to sleep. She sneaks out of the palace into the streets, dark and dangerous, but she says, I know my shepherd boy is looking for me. I'm going to go out there and find him. The daughters of Jerusalem, amazed at her, follow her. And then King Solomon follows her with a chariot, with a sedan chair, a royal chair in it, to bring her back to the palace and also bring the daughters of Jerusalem back. But the Shulamite girl says, I'm not going back. I'm going to find my shepherd boy. So she says, daughters of Jerusalem, you go back. You got to go back. Okay, you already married him. So she goes out into the dark streets and she heads toward her vineyard because she knows her shepherd boy is going to come looking for her in the vineyard.
Verse 1. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair.
Now, in chapter 4, for verses 1 through 15, the wonderful shepherd boy is speaking. Only in verse 16 does she speak. They are not together physically, but they're so much in love. She knows he's talking to her. She can feel that. Spiritually, the elect are not with Jesus bodily. He is going to come at the seventh trump. But the Holy Spirit speaks his word to us, and we hear his voice. The reason she does not speak for 15 verses is because she wants to listen to him. The elect know the shepherd's voice, and we only hear his voice. So he's speaking now. He says, you're beautiful.
Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks.
You have beautiful eyes just set so balanced there between your hair. Jesus says to the elect, the dove is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. You are led by the Holy Spirit. Between your hair, you have a brain, a forehead, and you are led by the Holy Spirit. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear on Mount Gilead.
He had seen the goats up there. They have a mane. The mane was flowing in the wind. It was just a beautiful thing. And he says you have beautiful, long, flowing hair. Biblically, spiritually, hair is a sign of strength. Did you know that's my maiden name, H-A-I-R? I know I'm not strong. But what it means for the elect, if when we are weak, he is strong. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. For an elect, you go from strength to strength. In old age, you bear more fruit in old age. You're not senile. You don't sit down. In old age, you bear more fruit than ever before.
Amen.
Verse 2. Thy teeth are like a flock of sheep.
Oh, he says, you have got white teeth like white sheep.
That are even shorn.
They're not crooked.
Which came up for the washing.
You keep them so clean, you brush them often.
Whereof every one bear twins.
When you lost your baby tooth, another one came in and is still there.
And none is barren among them.
Nothing missing, nothing broken. Sounds like she went some kind of orthodontist there for about $30,000. Well, what does this mean? For an elect, an elect's teeth grind out the pure word of God. And when the elect grind out the word of God to a lost people, their sins, though they're like scarlet, they're white as snow. The elect do not twist the word of God. It's straight on, straight and narrow. The elect do not miss any word of God. One book at a time, chapter, verse, line by line, Genesis to Revelation. Even if you're not in a pulpit, an elect takes this word to your best friend at school, at work, at play. Everywhere you go, you teach the word of God. And there's nothing missing, nothing broken. Every word of God.
Amen.
Verse 3. Thy lips are like a thread of scarlet.
The Shulamite girl would get some red berries, and she would put the juice on her lips to enhance her lips. He says, your lips are so pretty. For an elect, the elect have the lips of knowledge, and they speak the word of God. The red symbolizes the red blood of Jesus. They speak the thread of genealogy through whom Jesus came. In the book of Joshua there, the children of Israel had been given the promised land. So God says, go in there and take Jericho. The nation Israel sent two spies, Israelites, into Jericho. And the government there, the leaders were about to kill them. But a wonderful woman there named Rahab hid those two spies up on a roof under her flax because she was a seamstress. And so the two spies says, we're going to come back and we're going to capture Jericho. But if you'll put a red thread in your window, Rahab, we will save you and your family. And so they did. She married one of those spies. His name was Salmon. He was the father of Boaz, married to Ruth. And Ruth is the grandmother of King David. And Jesus came through that genealogy. For an elect, we understand the genealogy all the way back until Jesus came. And we speak that red thread, that red blood of Jesus, the thread until Messiah came, born in a manger.
And thy speech is comely.
He says, you have the most beautiful voice, Shuda, my girl. Jesus says, elect, I love your voice, because your voice does not speak me, myself, and I. Your voice does not say my troubles. Let me tell you what I went through this week. And elect's voice says, the word of God. The elect's voice is beautiful because they encourage everybody they meet despite their own troubles.
Thy temples are like a piece of a pomegranate within thy locks.
In other words, what's in your temple? Your pomegranate. Now, between your hair, it's a metaphor. He says, I like the way you think, Shulamite girl. A pomegranate, an ordinary one, weighs about 9 ounces. It's mostly seed. It's got 5 ounces of seed. Now, a pomegranate is very healing. It's been known to fight off cancer, heart disease, diabetes, arthritis, and Alzheimer's. Hey, America, let's send a truckload of pineapples to Nancy Pelosi. Let's send a truckload of pineapples to Joe Biden. Obviously, they both have cognitive disabilities there. Uh-oh, that won't work, because Joe Biden mandated that the truck drivers have to get the vaccine and wear a mask, even though they're the only one in the truck. The truck drivers got better sense to take that vaccine because it's not being tested, and they're not wearing the mask. It might cause them to wreck. So I guess that won't work. Now, what does this mean, spiritually speaking? For an elect, you have a brain but in your temple between your hair. It's in your forehead. For an elect, you have the word of God. And when people are sick, you say, he said his word and healed you from cancer, from heart disease, from diabetes, from arthritis. And you have the mind of Christ, which keeps your mind functioning beautifully. An elect's mind gets stronger and brighter as you go on and on and on. In other words, you have sow the word of God, the sow the word of God that heals, that brings peace, that brings the mind of Christ in your forehead. The elect think the word of God, pray the word of God, say the word of God, sing the word of God, and live the word of God, and share the word of God. When someone says you're sick, you don't say, oh, what does the doctor say? You say the word of God.
Amen.
And you say it about yourself, about every situation. Pineapple seed.
Verse 4. Thy neck is like the Tower of David, for an armory, whereon hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men.
Now King David had a tower there, and he kept weapons in there to give to his mighty men to defeat the enemy. For an elect, what's in your neck? Your vocal cords, your voice box. What elect do you use to defeat the enemy? The word of God. Just like Jesus said in Matthew 4, it is written. And the elect speak, it is written. And the word of God is quick and powerful, more powerful than a two-edged sword. And we defeat the enemy with the word of God. It is written, it is written, it is written. Say the scripture. That's what you do. Every time the enemy makes you sick, you don't call the doctor, you don't take a drug, you say the word of God. When you need money, you don't call the banker, you don't take a loan, you give, and then you say the word of God. Whatever's going on in your life, America, we say 2 Chronicles 7:14. The elect voice speaks the word of God, and the word of God defeats the devil every single time. Do you do that, or do you do all the human things?
Verse 5. Thy two breasts are like two young roes.
Here we go, Max. Okay. Your figure is very balanced.
That are cleansed.
You're clean.
Which feed among the lilies.
The shepherd boy says you and I are going to get married, and we're going to have some little lilies, because we learned earlier that the Shulamite girl is the lily of the valley. The elect are down here in the valley of Despond, as Pilgrim's Progress said. We're in a low place, but we're the ones who are shining in white because we have the word of God in us. For an elect, you have a balanced way of feeding everybody you meet the word of God. You feed from the Old Testament, that side. You feed from the New Testament. The Old Testament points to Jesus, and you can't understand the New Testament until you understand the Old Testament. You have a balance there. And an elect feeds lost people to get them saved, and you feed saved people to help them grow. The elect feed the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God.
Verse 6. Until the day break and the shadows flee away.
Shepherd boy says, it's dark now, but I'm coming. I know you must be in that vineyard. And so when it's daytime, I'm going to come where you are and I'm going to find you. For an elect, Asherai Shehar, Hebrew, Psalm 22, the dawning of a new day. At the seventh trump, Jesus is coming, the day of the Lord.
I will get me to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense.
The shepherd boy says, I've got to go and prepare a little place here for our honeymoon. And for an elect, before Jesus can come the second time, he came the first time. Myrrh is mine, it's bitter perfume. Breathes a sigh of gathering gloom. Sorrow sighing, bleeding, dying. Sealed in a cold stone tomb. Jesus came the first time to die. That was why the myrrh was there. But he won't die the second time.
Verse 7. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee.
Oh, your complexion so beautifully says you have a beautiful complexion, beautiful skin. Jesus is coming back for a church without spot and without wrinkle. The overcomers, the elect lady, the men and women who are not deceived by the Antichrist, the Shulamite girl, are going to sing the overcomer song. Revelation 15 says that. It's found in Deuteronomy 32. We'll say, their spot's not our spot. Because you see, half the body of Christ, thinking the Antichrist is Jesus, because he's going to be the devil with his Jesus costume on, looks like him, act like him, talk like him, they're going to be spotted then because they're going to bed with him and they'll be very, very dirty. In William Shakespeare's play, Lady Macbeth wanted her husband to be the king. So she killed King Duncan, but then everybody found out. And she felt guilty. As she kept washing away there, she said, out, out, darn spot. Well, she didn't say darn. You know what she said. Out, out, darn spot. But you see, for the elect, we know what can wash away our sins. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away the spot of sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And Jesus is coming back for a church, Virgil, without spot, without blemish. We will not have gone to bed with the Antichrist. We know the difference.
Verse 8. Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse.
Lebanon is Cyprus there. Now he says, come on, you know, we're going to have a honeymoon. Let's come into the honeymoon. For Jesus, he calls his elect the cedars of Lebanon. And right near, while we're the lilies of the valley, in this low place on earth, he says, come apart and rest a while, and you will find rest to your soul. Sabbath in Jesus, not just on Saturday or Sunday. Sabbath with him every day. Come apart, Christian, rest a while. Spend time alone with him in prayer and word every single day. Come apart and rest a while. The reason most of you are so tired all the time, you don't spend that time with Jesus. It would invigorate you.
With me from Lebanon, Look for the top of a manna.
We're going to have our honeymoon the top of a manna. A manna means covenant. He says, Shulamite girl, we're going to make a marriage covenant. We're going to get married, okay? For the elect, a covenant is a contract. When Jesus shed his blood, we have a contract sworn in blood. And every promise in the Bible is a contract sworn in blood on the grounds of the blood covenant.
From the top of Shemer.
That means it's very pure. He says, Shulamite girl, you're very pure. I'm glad you're going to be my virginal wife. I'm glad you didn't go to bed with the Antichrist. And for the elect, we're going to be the pure, white, clean lilies. For the elect are not going to marry the Antichrist. We're not going to be deceived by him.
And Hermon.
Hermon means a peak. Shepherd boy says, Shulamite girl, we're going to have the peak of love. We're going to have the greatest love story ever told. For the elect, we climb Jacob's ladder. We get saved. We study the word. We climb Jacob's ladder. We get to know Jesus intimately. We hear his voice. We feel his hug. We don't know about him. We know him. He talks to us and we talk to him. Visions and revelations of the Lord. Higher, higher, up Jacob's ladder. Closer, closer, closer. And finally, to the top. The elect are conformed to the image and likeness of Jesus. Level after level. Glory after glory. Loving Jesus, knowing him more, understanding him more, peeling the layers off of him to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, to know his voice, to know his nudge, to know his touch.
From the lion's den, from the mountains of the leopards.
Shepherd boy says, I know you're in the vineyard and the vineyard's in the field there. And I know there are lions and leopards there, but I'm going to come and I'm going to protect you. For an elect, you're in the field. Jesus says the field is the world. And he says, stay in the field till I come. But your enemy, the devil, goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He, of course, is the Antichrist. He's not here yet, but his political system is. The leopard, can a leopard change their spot? The leopard would be his own children, the communist, socialist, Marxists that have captured America, and all of these lying people who are lying to us. But you see, their spot's not your spot. You're not deceived by that. Don't you worry. Not one hair of your head shall be harmed.
Verse 9. Thou hast ravished my heart, my sister.
You make me so joyous. I'm so delighted in you.
My spouse.
Notice he called her his spouse. We're going to get married. You're going to be my wife, but you're also my sister. Wonderful shepherd boy knew that Shulamite's brothers had turned her in like the elect will be turned in by the brothers and sisters of Christ. So he says, I'm going to be not only your husband, but I'm going to be that good brother you never had. For an elect, when Jesus comes, there'll be the marriage supper of the Lamb. He's the bridegroom. We'll be the bride. But he's also our elder brother. He's the only begotten Son of God, the firstborn among many brethren. Jesus is our husband, and he's our brother. Hallelujah, what a family.
Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes.
Shepherd boy says, just one of your eyes looking at me just makes me so very happy. For an elect, we only have eyes for Jesus. We've got single-eyed focus on our purpose and our destiny. We're not turned away by money or fun or video games or fame or greed or houses or lands or work. We do all those things we have to do. But the focus of single-eyed vision is Jesus, for that is an elect's purpose. First, second, third, always Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We only have eyes for Jesus. No other greater love than that.
With one chain of thy neck.
when they were sitting under the tree and the shepherd boy asked her to marry him, he gave her just one chain there, kind of like an engagement necklace there. And he said, I'm glad to see that you didn't take all those gold, expensive chains, diamond necklaces that King Solomon wanted you. You just kept one chain. For an elect, we are slaves and bond slaves to Jesus. He is our yoke. We are yoked to him. And when he turns any way, we turn that way. We're chained to him. Wherever he says, we will go. Whatever he says, we will do. Whatever he tells us to be, we will be. We obey him. The slightest little nuance of the chain, there we turn. We obey. Obedience brings blessings.
Verse 10. How fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse.
It's so beautiful, he says, that you love me, Shulamite girl. In Hosea chapter 6:6, God says, I thank you for bringing your offerings and things. I appreciate that. But what I want is your love. When God's elect love Jesus, not because you know about him, you love him. You love his heart. You're in love with him. Not what he does for you. Love him. That's what God wants. When elect is in love with him, we adore you. The adoration makes God so happy. Oh, we adore you. We love you.
How much better is thy love than wine?
The shepherd boy says, I know in your vineyard you have the grapes there and you can make wine juice there. But that love that you and I have, that kiss we have, it's better than being intoxicated with wine. For an elect, an elect 24/7 stays on a high because of the one-on-one fellowship with Jesus Christ. Amen. Even in our lowest moments, when all hell breaks loose, we are still on high. We got the passion. We got the fire. No elect is ever boring. No elect is ever dead. No elect is ever dumb. An elect is wildly passionate, alive, drunk with love for Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Holy Lord.
No greater love.
And the smell of thine ointments than all spices.
Oh, you smell so good, he says.
Verse 11. Thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under thy tongue.
And he says, when I first kissed you, it was just like a sweet honey taste there. For an elect, their lips feed the word of God. To get someone saved, you give them the milk of the word. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And then when they're a new baby Christian, even if they're 70 or 80, you give them the milk. But then you go on to the meat of the word, which is sticky. It has substance. You grow them. You start with the milk and you build up. The mystery of God, the three earth and heaven ages, the fallen angels, the order of the trumps, all the things that we do, dying to ourselves, living for Jesus, being baptized with the Holy Spirit, obeying every word of God. That's honey.
And the smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon.
Oh, you smell so good, he says, like cypress there. To Jesus, the prayers of his saints are like a sweet-smelling savor in his nostril.
Verse 12. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. A stream shut up, a fountain sealed.
He says to her, you're virginal. You did not marry. You did not go to bed with King Solomon. I'm glad you waited for me. For Jesus, when he comes at the seventh trump, half the body of Christ will no longer be virginal. They love him. They went to church today. They love Jesus. They pray. But they're not going to be virginal. They would have given their hearts to the Antichrist, but not the elect. We're going to stay pure and wait for the seventh trump. He's coming back for a virginal church without spot.
Verse verse 13. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates.
In other words, he said, I know you must be in your vineyard and you plant those pomegranates. Oh boy, I love those pomegranates.
With pleasant fruits.
Pleasant fruits. In other words, he says, when I come to your vineyard, I'm going to get some of those sweet fruits you grow, Shulamite girl. For an elect, Jesus says, he's the vine, the elect of the branch. And if you abide in the vine, and if you don't abide, you're not the elect, you will bear fruit. Jesus says, you shall know them by their fruits. Now, the gifts of spirit are in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, but the fruits of the Spirit are Galatians 5. They are love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And you shall know them by their fruits.
Camphor with spikenard. Verse 14, spikenard and chiffon, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense.
In other words, I know you've got a lot of trees in your vineyard there, and he said they all bear fruit. For an elect, we witness to everybody we meet, and all Christians are called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. The elect love everybody. I want everybody saved.
Myrrh and aloes.
Aloes is healing. When I had cancer, I bought a plant and ate the plant. But of course, the stripes healed me. In other words, for an elect, you're anointed. You're anointed with oil. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. You're anointed. You lay hands on the sick and they recover.
All the chief spices. Verse 15. A fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, and springs from Lebanon.
He concludes his statement there in verse 15. He says, you're so fresh. You're like a breath of fresh air. For the elect, the anointing is so fresh and vivacious. An anointed person, if they're 120 years old, is alive. Fresh oil. Anointing destroys the yoke. All elect have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. The anointing destroys the yoke. And it's vital. And it's living. Now the Shulamite girl responds in verse 16. She's been listening. The elect listen to Jesus. When the elect pray, they don't do all the talking. They listen.
Verse 16. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south. Blow upon my garden.
Come, right kind of wind and everything. Make my garden fertile here for my wonderful shepherd boy.
That the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits.
She says, come, wonderful shepherd boy, and I'll give you all the fruits of my little garden here, of my vineyard. For an elect, we say, a little poem I wrote just a few minutes ago. O come, Emmanuel. The world in a basket is going to hell. It's okay, you can laugh. Come and cause this evil to cease. For you alone are the Prince of Peace.
Amen. Amen.
The greatest love story Amen. Ever told. Amen. I pray you are blessed.
Yes. Amen.
Let me introduce to you, man of God, my twin friend, the owner of the produce place, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very well, Miss Sherry. What an awesome word. What an awesome word.
Awesome word. Yeah, a love story. Stuff. Well, David left his stuff in the car. Does he could put his stuff in the bag? What is Scott's stuff?
And the smoke of the incense, which came from the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hands. Revelation 8:4.
That's the incense. That's that fragrance. The prayers are like a sweet-smelling fragrance. That's perfect.
Amen.
Great, Scott.
Amen.
We did not collude.
Good
you got
stuff.
Dove's eyes. The Holy Spirit led you there.
Amen. Bless
now,
you.
I have a wonderful praise report about healing today. And before I get to that, and to pray for healing, let's pray for anyone who's not saved. Anyone out there in cyberspace, in here, If you're not saved, pray this prayer with me, and God will save you right now. Here we go. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
I turn from them.
I turn from them.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
Wash away all my sins with the blood of Jesus.
Wash away all my sins with the blood of Jesus.
Save me.
Save me.
Use me.
Use me.
To win many souls to Jesus.
To win many souls to Jesus.
Amen. 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 Now, for those of you in cyberspace, confession is made to salvation. You need to tell someone. In a few moments, Scott is going to give you my telephone number. I invite you to call me. Leave your confession on my voicemail. I will get that message very soon. Say your name clearly, and of course, I will pray for you. Now, at this time, we always pray for someone sick. A couple of programs back, we prayed for Laura Stevens' good friend in North Carolina, Michelle. She had a cyst on her ovaries. Many of you heard that. And she had to have an operation. Well, we just got the praise report that they found that there's not one trace of cancer. She is totally, completely healed from the inside out. We prayed for her. Amen. She requested prayer. So, Michelle, pick up your bed and walk.
Amen.
With Jesus' stripes, you'll heal. See, all of you out there, he sent his word and healed you and delivered you from your destruction. Anoint with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. 39 stripes. One of those stripes is whatever ails you. Pick up your bed and walk. Oh, the sun arises and arises with healing in his wings. You are healed. Be healed. Be healed. Kushalabaka. In the name of Jesus. Somebody got it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Nothing is given you to keep, so go and tell this great love story. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his counsel upon you and give you peace. This is your second best friend, Sherry Medlock. Your best friend is Jesus. I love you with all my heart. And I'm looking forward to the next time when you and I get together as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of
the Trumpet very best of contemporary Truth. Contemporary Christian music, 91.5 FM. WMIE.
Sacrifice. There's an air everywhere of inconsideration and despair. I don't consider you, and you don't consider me. And it's well understood that we don't care.
Together. You're listening to WMIE, Bavard's home for the very best in contemporary modern praise and worship music, 91.5 FM.
You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
If you miss the big stuff, if you already got it made, and you do that independently of God, he says you got to carry your garbage with you.
Dr. Tony Evans says those who try to make it on their own miss out on a divine gift.
But until you take his yoke, and until you learn of him, you won't find what he gave.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. If you're trying to lighten your load in life, the last thing you'd want to do is take on something new, something heavy. But today, Dr. Evans says that's exactly what it takes to find the rest your soul has been looking for. Let's join him as he explains.
The Pelicano was the most unwanted ship in the world. In 1986, there was a sanitation strike in the city of Philadelphia coming right out of the Democratic Convention. Myriads of people left myriads of trash that was being uncollected and unaddressed. Since the sanitation workers were on strike, the trash was collected and placed on the Pelicana, a freighter. 28 tons of trash had been burned and had become toxic ash and placed on this freighter. Because it had become toxic, it had no place to dock because no country wanted to deal with it. So for 2 years, the Pelicana floated from sea to sea, ocean to ocean, looking for a place to rest. But there was no place that would accept it because of the toxicity of the garbage. The only thing they would allow the Pelicana to do is to stop and be refueled in order to wander some more. A lot of people are like the Pelicana. We just got all this garbage and no place to take it. We come to church on Sunday hoping to get rid of it, only to discover all we could do is get refueled. But we leave with the weight still on us, carrying the same load we came with. We got a little bit more fuel, a little bit more energy, but the same weight. If you have come weighed down with the stuff of life, the garbage, it may even be toxic, both for you and for others. Jesus wants to offer you a place to dock, a place to leave it, not merely to be refueled to keep carrying it, but to release it. This release in the Bible is called rest, where the burden, the thing that weighs you down, you let go of. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus starts off with a prayer. In verse 25, he says, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them unto infants. He's getting ready to tell you how to let the load go. He's getting ready to tell you and me how to release the burden. He's getting ready to tell you how to get rid of the garbage. He's getting ready to comfort you in your affliction. But before he does, he starts with a prayer. And he says, Father, I thank you that you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent. In other words, the answer to life's burdens can't be discovered at UCLA, Harvard, Yale, the University of Texas, or even seminary, which can give you information without illumination. He says, the wise and the intelligent, and what he's referring, that's not a dig on education, what he's referring to is those who think they know apart from God. He says, I want to thank you. He says, I thank you that it stays a secret. from people who think they're smart enough to figure life out independently of God. I thank you that you've kept it hidden.